Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Well, he used to come on before the pandemic. We'd put him on the couch, and he was just one of my favorite NBA guests. Lead columnist for The Athletic in the Bay Area, and his NBA stuff is great. He's actually written two books. Both are excellent. One's called Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry. It's a fascinating story. And you forget, he played at Davidson. The hell? And then he wrote the KD book, KD, Kevin Durant's Relentless Pursuit to Be the Greatest. I'm looking forward to this interview. Let's bring him in live, Marcus Thompson. So before I get to Steph, I do want to talk about KD. So years ago, I was talking to, I forget his name. Lee Jenkins. And KD.
Oh, yeah, my guy.
Yeah, so smart guy. So KD was at the Warriors, and he said, listen, I asked him a question. He said, just don't say it on the air. And so sometimes, you know, we got to take care of our peeps, our sources. So he said, listen, I said, what do you make of Kevin Durant? And he looked at me and he said, he's a wanderer. He's not going to stay in Golden State. And this was when they were like crushing people. And now Kevin Durant, you know him well, is in Brooklyn. They're actually, when he didn't play, they were fine as long as James Harden played. It's when Harden was out that they couldn't win. Do you think this morning, Marcus, KD is happier as a Net than he was a Warrior?
Yeah, he's with his homies. He's with his guys. You know, Kyrie is his dude. You know they got to be close. He left the Bay. He left Steph Curry. You know, like that's a tough thing to go to. But Kyrie is his dog. So I think so. He's got a new challenge. He's got a new experience. He's got a new, you know, thing before him. I think this type of stuff motivates Kevin, especially after the Achilles, right? This is his first postseason, like, back. This is his happy place right here. Some doubt, a little bit of haters, right? A little bit of people not expecting maybe the most out of him. I feel like this is KD's happy place. He's ready to give you some buckets, and he's with his friends.
You know, that's so interesting, though, because we know Kevin's a pretty bright guy, right? Steph is so reliable. Kyrie is not as reliable. Why are they so close?
I mean, it makes a lot of sense, like, if you take out the NBA perspective, right? Steph's got three kids, yo. Like, Steph's got a wife, right?
Right.
He's got, you know, he's locked up. They didn't have the time. Like, they kind of linked at the wrong time in their lives. There's some similarity. There's some synergy between them. They're still good friends. But KD was a guy who had a lot of, you know, interests, like, you know, he had time, like, he wanted to be with friends, he wanted that companionship. And Steph is a married family dude. He just couldn't give it. I think they were on the same wavelength. They just met at the wrong time. Kyrie, they could have that, and, you know, they don't have the same obligations. I think it was just regular adult stuff, right? Well, we could go kick it with me and Kyrie and DeAndre Jordan, and Steph is like, hey, you know, it's time for me to go hang out with Riley, Ryan, and Cannon and spend some time with my wife, right? Like, that I got the same problem, Skyler, so I already know what it is. My friend's always like, yo, can you come out? And I'm like, yeah, my daughter's got violin, and my wife, it's movie night, and, I, you know, that's my life, so I get it.
Let's shift to Steph Curry. I love him. And there's been this weird thing in the NBA where people don't give him the love they give Westbrook, and it drives me nuts. It's interesting.
Not now, though, right? Everybody loves Steph now.
Well, now everybody's way late, about 7 years late. but what he's done this year, I always thought he was much more. He was mentally a very tough guy, maybe not physically. Although it does look like he's put on some weight. Yeah. He's put on some muscle this year.
Oh yeah.
Are you explain this year, Steph? Where does it fit in the Steph all-time narrative this year?
This is actually pre-championship Steph we've seen, right? This is the Steph we saw that we in the Bay knew before he was Steph, right? Where he was kind of the hub and everything ran off of it. And then Klay became an all-star. Then Draymond became an all-star, right? But this is how it used to be. And I think this is Steph answering critics saying he didn't have it anymore. This was the year Steph was like, "Oh, y'all thought I was done? You thought I didn't have anything left?" He didn't even like thinking about the end of, you know, of his career. He's talking about, "I'm in the middle of my prime. I got years left." I think that was big for him, and a lot of people were saying he was only good because of what was around him. But people who've watched the Warriors since he's been there, they know Steph has always been the straw that stirs the drink. He's been the epicenter, and it goes as he goes. And now without, you know, four all-stars around him, he goes and win a scoring title. Like, this is Steph flexing with his new muscles, like new money. This is what Steph was like, "Y'all thought I was done. What? Y'all must be crazy. I'm the babyface assassin."
Wait, with the Warriors, just the way the NBA works, dynasties are short. They're always quicker than we think, right? And by the way, they're pretty quick in the NFL for different reasons. A lot of that is injury. In the NBA, it's free agency. And I look at the Warriors now, and I'm like, what the hell am I supposed to make of them? Klay's going to come back, but he hadn't played hoop in 2 years. Curry's still great. Draymond's past his prime. Wiseman's a baby, years from flourishing. Are the Warriors pretty much done? Is Steph going to stay there for 6-7 years? Are they just done being great?
That we got to let go of that dynasty team for sure, right? You got, this is post-dynasty. This is Kobe after the Shaq Kobe years, right? And it's like, you got to recreate yourself. I think that's what Steph is doing. You got to reinvent it. I think a lot of people are clamoring to, you know, hey, they won three championships. They had all these all-stars. They've got to reinvent themselves. Because keep in mind, these dudes are 30 now. These are 25-year-olds running around here. So I do think Steph will be around a while. I do think he's going to ride it out. And I think the bar is definitely win one more championship, right? If they just get one, and then it becomes Kobe in 08, right? Like, yo, win a championship. Prove to people you can do it without that. I think that's kind of the mission. But it is Steph, Klay, Draymond. If they do it one more time, they get rid of the whole, "Oh, it was just because of KD." And I do think that's important to them. They still got some meat on them bones, they'd like to say.
Yeah. So what do you make? Let's come down south. I love, you know, the Lakers have 17 titles. The Clippers have never played in a conference championship. It's very much Yankees-Mets, where you have big brother, little brother.
Facts.
It looks like the Clippers essentially tanked the weekend so they don't have to potentially play the Lakers. And I think to myself, kind of message is that? The Clippers are also a bad late game clutch team. Their stats are terrible. What do you make of this Kawhi to the Clipper thing from afar? Odd, strange, underachieving. What do you make of it?
Definitely underachieving. Definitely strange. I'm a big PG guy. I think Paul George is great. But you know what? Here's where I credit the Clippers. You know, a key to life is self-awareness, is knowing yourself. You know what the Clippers know what they can't handle? They cannot handle a first-round exit. That's what they can't handle. So yeah, I think they did the right thing. Can you imagine the basketball world if they lost to the Lakers in the first round?
Oh, God.
That's the end of this team, right? Steve Ballmer will have no choice but to blow it up. Kawhi might be like, "Yo, I'm out." Keep in mind, they got two big free agents coming up possibly. So that's a smart move by them, right? That's pretty clever. And look, they end up in a decent matchup, right? They get Portland, which is, you know, dangerous, but definitely beatable. And then after that, they're looking at, you know, Phoenix, or, you know, it could be the Lakers, or it could be the Warriors. Who knows, depending on how this thing shake out. I feel like it was a smart move by them. You know, you got to know who you are. You got to know what your weaknesses are, and you got to know what you can't stand. And losing in the first round to LeBron, that's a death nail.
How about when you look at LeBron's ankle? It's funny. So he's been pissed the whole year. First of all, he didn't want to start in December, and he didn't want the All-Star weekend. He didn't want the play-in game, because he usually gets 120 days off, and this year he got 70, and he's just in a bad mood. And then I watch him come back. They win 5 straight, and LeBron's like, "Yeah, I don't care about the seating. Let's go. Bring it on. I don't care." And I think to myself, all right, if he's healthy, they're going to win the West. Is that too optimistic?
Nah, this is LeBron James we're talking about, right? That ankle does worry me, though. Like, LeBron is, He's going to have to carry this team. That's the thing we saw, right? It's going to be a lot of, like, I got this. AD still doesn't feel like he's tip-top yet, right? And you got Dennis, who, you know, has missed a lot of time. LeBron's going to have to carry a load, and now he's got to do it from the back of the pack, right? I mean, think about it. He's playing an extra game against Steph Curry, right? So you got to start thinking about that ankle now, and that's a concern. But as long as he's healthy, it's LeBron, it's AD, it's a championship team that's full of veterans that play defense. This is going to be a tough out. They're going to be tough out. They just got to stay healthy, and that makes me worry. High ankle sprains are no joke. This is not like a hangnail. Like, this is serious business, and LeBron's got to play this right, which means they need to win this game. Can you imagine they lose to the Warriors, and now they got to play San Antonio? That's two games that don't actually count, and then they got to go play Utah, right? Like, they've got a long road. They need LeBron to carry them, and I'm a little nervous about that. But as long as he's healthy, I don't worry about the Lakers.
Who's your MVP? You got a vote?
I haven't had a vote in a long time. Why does the NBA hate on me? How come I don't get a vote?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not feeling that, first off. Give me my vote, Adam Silver. I know what I'm talking about. But I'm gonna go with Nikola Jokic just because I wrote a book on Steph, and any other answer would be a homer answer. So here's how I put it: Steph is the best player in basketball this year. Nikola Jokic is the MVP. I know that doesn't make any sense, but that's the MVP, right? Like, you kind of pick your own criteria. If maybe next year I'll pick who makes the best gumbo, and they'll be the MVP. I don't know, but there's nobody who's had a better year than Steph. But I do think It's just tough to give an MVP to the AC. It's the greatest Steph has been. That's just kind of too low to sit well with me for the AC. But LeBron said he's MVP, so you know what I'm saying? LeBron said it. It must be worthy.
Great seeing you again. We don't talk enough. Great seeing you. I love having you on.
Anytime you want me on, I will happily come on and talk to Joy, because you are just in my way. You're just in my way.
Hi, Marcus.
But me and Joy can have a real conversation about life, and you just want to talk about LeBron.
No. Fair criticism.
I also want to talk about LeBron, to be fair.
Good seeing you, buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all. Thank you very much.
Love Marcus Thompson. He's one of those guys I could talk to for an hour and a half. He just talks. By the way, the miraculous rise of Steph Curry, it's just a great American story. It's just a great, great story.
It's been incredible.
It's amazing. Yeah, you ever, you know, sometimes you'll see a story and then you go back and YouTube it because I want to go back and remember that. So you ever YouTube Steph Curry at Davidson and you're like,
I have not, but
yeah. I'm on YouTube all the time. And one of the things I do is I hear something. I'm like, I want to go back and see that. That I want to go back. I don't remember that. And then you see it and you're like, yeah, I don't remember much of that.
Because you really don't. You don't like to romanticize things.
Not really a romanticizer.
Yeah.
So I did go to a romantic restaurant with my wife.
I think you're romantic.
And can I add this? So I told you earlier, nothing is worse in the world than this guy. Oh, the book is better than the movie.
Yeah. You were that guy earlier, but it was warranted. I'll allow it.
But I'll say this. My wife... So Saturday, I took her to a romantic dinner, and then we went home and got in our pajamas. So the point being, you know, is there was a book she read 2 years ago, and it was the most she's ever... My wife never stops reading. It was a book called A Woman in a Window.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out this week on Netflix. And my wife... I've never seen her more excited for the book. And it came out, and the acting was unbelievable. I didn't think the movie was that great. And I turned to my wife and she's like, I think the book was better than the movie. And I'm like, oh, then you're the person. Because we don't like that person.
Like, I think if the book is a reasonable read, then you can be that person. But like when Game of Thrones was airing, people would be like, well, listen, the books are actually better. I'm like, you expect me to read an encyclopedia?
Get over it. But the show was better. I didn't even watch the show, and the show's
better. The show was 100% better. I've not read one single letter of the book, and I'm sure they're spectacular, but
you do get a lot of this. Oh, the book is better than the movie. I'll tell you something. I read The Firm, and I watched The Firm. I said it at the time. John Grisham's great. He's great. He's had like 40 books made into movies. The movie The Firm was better than the book, and I love the book. Silence of the Lambs, written by, I think, William Harris. Book was great. Movie's better.
Great movie.
Great movie. I've watched that thing 44 times. I keep track. I'll book at home.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Enjoy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
Thomas Harris, William. I forget who wrote that book.
The movie was better.
Yeah.
So Tom Brady will return to New England this year for the first time as a member of a visiting team. And Robert Kraft can't wait for the highly anticipated matchup. He said, we're excited to have him. He's a great guy, and he did so much for him. I love him.
The reaction to Tom Brady that weekend.
I can't wait for this game.
It's going
Bucks
to be
Patriots Week 4, Sunday Night Football. So we're all going to be watching that one.
And Boston people are usually bitter and boo everybody, but I think they'll like him.
I want to see the interaction between Belichick and him. Because I want to see how awkward it is.
Oh, it'll be totally uncomfortable. Totally.
Normally, I hate awkward things. Like, I'll fast forward the awkward part of a movie that's coming up or a show if I know it's coming. I don't like awkward at all. But I know it's going to be deliciously awkward between the two of them. On Friday, Schefter tweeted that the average ticket price for the Bucks-Patriot game in New England on October 3rd is $1,370.
What?
With prices as high as $12,000.
Oh my,
on Ticketmaster,
God.
According to Vivid Seats. Yeah.
12 grand.
Yeah, so people are trying to be there for this.
How's Sully from the North End going to afford that? How are they going to afford that?
That's crazy, actually. It's very expensive. Now, I don't know if they are selling them at full capacity yet, but that's still very expensive for a Week 4 game.
$12,000?
It's going as high as 12,000, yeah.
Where do people?
I mean, it's history, right? Like, this is going to be.
I know, but
you're going to be able to say that you were at the game when Tom Brady came back after winning a Super Bowl with the Bucks, the Patriots.
So I went to Chicago this weekend, and we called a driver, and we wanted to go to the North End because Chicago suburbs in the North, Winnetka, are just stunning. And I'm sitting there with my wife after looking at about 45 minutes of mansions on the water. I'm like, who are these people?
I know.
Like, does Oprah have 32 homes here? Who has all this money?
Yeah.
I'm out here digging ditches for a living, and I got, these things are castles. And I'm not joking. 15 miles of them.
I know. It's I run into that a lot out here, actually. I'm like, who owns
that all castle?
Of these? This is an estate. Who owns? What did you do? Like, let me know. What did you do to acquire this? Not like money. Wealth.
Yeah, wealth. Money's different.
This is a $15 million home. It's right there. Like, right there. And then there's 20 of them. Like, then, they're all $15 million.
And then in Chicago, because of the weather, these are brick. These are, I mean, when you look at these things, you're like, those are like Harry Potter. And it was literally 20 minutes, and I'm just going.
And then they have a second home, too. Like, where you can really do this is South Florida. Oh, because you ride through, like, in Fort Lauderdale, there's just, like, mansion after mansion after mansion, and they're just all empty.
How about West Palm?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
That place is nuts.
I don't know. Let us know how you guys make this money, all right? And don't tell me Bitcoin.
Yeah, no kidding. Bitcoin. That'd be so discouraging.
You owned that house before Bitcoin got here. So the 49ers drafted Trey Lance with a plan to replace Jimmy Garoppolo eventually. And the rookie said he's going to take advantage of his time with Jimmy G to absorb all the information that he can.
Yeah, I got to meet him over the last couple of days, which is awesome. Him and the rest of the quarterbacks in the room, and they're awesome. Jimmy actually said that in his first text to me, just it's going to be awesome to have another FCS guy in the room. So he's another guy that's obviously been in a similar position to me, having been, you know, where I am. So just looking forward to learning as much as I can from him and like I said, all the rest of the guys in the room.
Well, I don't think he's going to play that early. I don't buy into that he's ready to go. I think you play Garoppolo till the wheels come off.
Well, I think part of the development of Trey Lance, whoever took him, was going to have to be the plan because he hasn't played it that recently. Now, he has the same amount of starts as Mac Jones, but the argument for Mac Jones was that, you know, he's coming from a pro system.
Well, he also played more recently.
And he played more recently.
Yeah.
So he is more ready to play right now.
Yeah.
I don't think that either one of them are necessarily ready to play
right now. I totally agree.
I think Trevor Lawrence is ready to play right now. I don't know if Zach Wilson is ready to play right now.
I want to see optically what Mac Jones looks like under center. I have this feeling we're going to watch him and think he looks small. That's what I think. That's
small.
Well, he's 6'2". I'm 6'2". I don't know, Matt, when I see all these measurements of guys and I'm like, I just need to see it. Like Garoppolo, they say is 6'2 and a half. When Garoppolo's under center, you don't even think about his size. He's yoked. Russell Wilson, yoked. Sometimes you see guys and you're like, I want to see if Mac Jones looks like a pro athlete.
I'm very interested. I have just doubts because he's an Alabama quarterback.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, I think like someone needs to break that stereotype.
Yeah.
So Steph Curry has secured the NBA scoring title for the second time in his career. He finished the regular season averaging a career-high 32 points per game. He and Michael Jordan are now the only players in NBA history to win a scoring title at age 33 or older. He also joins Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the only players with multiple scoring titles, MVPs, and championships. I thought this was a very, very important year for Steph Curry's legacy because, he came into the year with a lot of doubters and a lot of people questioning if he was capable of doing something like this. And look, I realize they're the 8th seed, right? It's not like he dragged them to the 4 seed or something.
Yeah.
But that's still very impressive when you consider the rest of the roster. You consider he's essentially doing it by himself, that he's putting up these kind of numbers. That, to Chris Broussard's point earlier, he's doing it against double, triple team because he is he's the guy. Like, he's the one you have to shut down, and he's right. still making it happen. I get he's not going to get the MVP because it's the 8th seed. I personally would give the MVP to Chris Paul because they're the 2nd seed, and he has clearly shown that he has brought a winning championship contention level of basketball to that organization. But this year for me, I think, was my favorite year of Steph Curry's career. He just shut everyone up.
Yeah.
And
like Marcus,
he's just been unbelievably fun to watch.
It's like Marcus Thompson said. He said it's like the Steph before you guys knew him. It's like the Bay Area Steph. And then like 2 years later, everybody's like, oh, he's good. We're like, yeah, we've been watching him for like 2 years. He's really good.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to do what you do. Let them know this is what you do.
That's
and
right.
That's what he did. He has had an incredible season.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
All right, good show. By the way, 60 Minutes did a big story on UFOs last night.
I saw some tweet about that.
Getting to a new time when, like, we got like Pentagon and Navy pilots. Like, yeah, there's like things out here we can't describe it. I'm into it now. You know, I'm not a big UFO guy. I always think it's a drone or it's a military creation from another country. But that the new ones are, they're flying and they go underwater. It's like, okay, time out. That's Johnny Quest stuff. What's going on here?
You know what I think?
What?
I think we have so much access to information now. Everyone has a camera on their phone. There's just so much more out there that you can document that they figured, like, look, we probably should get ahead of this before, you know, some 12-year-old catches the alien parking his UFO in the middle of the parking lot and going in and buying Cheetos. Like, we got to get ahead of it.
So you think there's UFOs?
Well, I've always thought there was UFOs because I like to remain somewhat humble in this scape of the universe.
And I think we dominate it.
Yeah, no, there's no way that humans are the most intelligent.
I think the Earth
life
is
form in the universe.
Alabama and the rest of the country is the Big Ten. The rest of the galaxy is the Big Ten.
the rest of the universe.
Yeah, it's Big Ten, and we're Alabama. We just are better.
Are we?
Hey, you don't get Chipotle on Mars. We win.
Chipotle's very good.
Look at our restaurants. Look at Mars. Domination. Okay. And that's just the one we can see.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, 3-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing. Discover's accepted 99% of the places in the U.S. that accept credit cards. Go to discover.com/yes. We were going to make our predictions for the NBA playoffs, but we got into UFOs today. We got into
Tiger Woods' sex life.
Yeah, which neither one of us care about.
Don't.
It's nothing against. We got into that movie about the woman in the window.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have time today.
Yeah, don't be the guy that says, or girl that says the book was better than the movie.
But this weekend, it was true. And so that's what we got. And 60 Minutes did this big thing on UFOs, yeah, which I never believed in my whole life.
But I don't understand. You saw an actual UFO. How do you not believe in them?
I know. It's just whatever. I saw it. I don't want to get into it. I saw it and it went into the sky. But I, you know, it's one of those things where I, you know, when people say they misremember.
Mm-hmm.
I know I saw a UFO, but I still think everybody else's is a Frisbee and mine was the only real one. There's just a lot of
Then can't you just give the benefit of the doubt that since you saw one that there might be out there?
Here's what, it's very reasonable. My take is this, is that if there really were UFOs, we have so many telescopes and we'd have a good picture of one. They're always fuzzy and grainy. Good God, you can get a speeding ticket now driving 85 miles an hour on some roads in America and they get your license down.
Well, that's why I'm saying I think that's why the government is finally admitting that they're here, because people do have better technology to capture them themselves. Whereas before it was like only the government had that kind of level of technology to get pictures and videos of them.
I'm telling you, it's that little tic-tac-y one off of Jacksonville, and there's one that's on the water, and then it goes underneath the water. It submerges. It's like, okay, that I can't explain. The rest of them, you always look at a picture and go, well, it's kind of murky. It could be faked. That one, when the pilots are going, dude, look at that. It's 120-mile-an-hour wind. It's no exhaust. I got to be honest. I don't have an answer for that one.
I don't really need to see one. I think it's pretty reasonable if you know what though? I just like science and things like, you know,
I'm
like
telling
factual,
you, they're going to
so
show up here.
Universe is
and
pretty
they're going to be dumb.
No, there's no chance.
Yeah, they're going to get here and be like, hey, where's a Waffle House? We're starving.
Waffle House is great. First of all, they've already been here. So, like, the fact that they haven't just decided to take over means that, you know, Earth can be kind of dusty.
That Tyson guy that came on and said, if they're so brilliant, how come they crash in...
Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yeah, he's like, if they're so brilliant, why do they keep crashing in New Mexico?
Well, maybe our, you know, terrain isn't made for their
They're going through space
ships
at 1,000 miles an hour. Then they get around our trees and they're like, whoa! Yeah, they're brilliant. Smartest guys
or
in the world.
Or maybe the government is shooting them down.
Oh boy, you're going off into the weeds on this thing.
I mean, it's not bothering me. Like, I'm good. I'm cool. You know?
All right. Listen, some days there are things that need to be discussed over the games. And today,
we'll give our picks tomorrow.
All right. We're done. It's over. Speak for yourself next.